It's time to crush the box. God is calling us to break out of the mold that the world conditions us to be in, and to allow God to bring liberty and freedom to every aspect of our lives. Are you ready to break out of the box? Are you ready to experience change and transformation? Hallelujah. That's what God wants for us. And together, we can do it, because we can't do it alone. We need the help of the body, of the people of God who are on this journey together, are able to help each other. And that is why Jesus came into the world. In Mark 10:45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And I'd like to use as a theme today, deliver the ransom. Deliver the ransom. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, God, that you would just rise up in the midst of us, and that you would lead us and guide us in the way that we should go. Even through our old age, we would not depart from it. Help us, oh God. Help us, Lord, to be focused, to have eyes to see, ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to his people in this new year, 2020, the new decade of this new century. I pray, God, that you would establish yourself in the midst of us. God, that you would use us as an example to a lost and dying world, that you are still alive and you are real and your word is true. Help us, Lord, to be the ambassadors you've called us to be, that we may deliver the ransom and liberate the people that you have placed in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God, he is able to do abundantly more than you or I could ask or even imagine. And even as we live our lives, as we move forward in our life, it is not the way it appears to be. Things are not the way they appear to be. And the things that we see and perceive are not always exactly the way we see and perceive them. And so we need divine insight. And that's what Jesus came to demonstrate, to teach, to help us to understand. And in Mark 10:45, he said that he did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, as a ransom for many. Notice it doesn't say a ransom for all or for everyone, but it strategically says a ransom for many. And that is, it is up to the hearer to determine whether or not they will hear the word of God and respond to it. It is up to each individual to make a choice, to choose Christ. He does not force himself. He does not make people. He doesn't try to drag people into a particular mindset or a way of thinking. But God gives us opportunity. And the opportunity is up to us whether or not we will respond to it and how we will respond to it and what we will do with what the Word of God has said. God operates in this created universe by his word. It was the word of God that was spoken, and everything leapt into existence. It was the word of God that was declared, and men responded and moved in the midst of the earth and experienced great things. It was the word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us in humanity, and Christ lived, and he modeled what it is to live as a man of the Spirit of God. Then he imparted that understanding to the disciples and the experience to the disciples. Being a Christian is not just knowledge and understanding, it's an experience. Being a Christian is an experience. and we experience the Word of God coming alive in our lives. And it is so critical, it's so important that we are receiving and feeding on the Word of God so that transformation and life can take place. Do you want life and creation to take place in your life? Then you must obey and adhere to and consume and become one with the Word of God. It is the Word of God that brings life. And this is why Satan wants us to be busy. He doesn't want us to have understanding. He doesn't want us to know the Word of God, not in just in our minds, but in our hearts, so that we can be changed, so that we can be transformed. And so I'd like to kind of back up a little bit in this juncture in Mark 10, just to kind of give you a little greater perspective on why Jesus said what he said. It says on verse 32, they were on the road, the disciples and Jesus, going up to Jerusalem on their way from Judea. And Jesus was walking ahead of the disciples, and they were amazed. And those who were following him, they were fearful. They were afraid. And this gives us a picture of men who are in a battle. They're in a battle because Jesus' life had already been threatened. The scribes and the Pharisees, they wanted to kill him. He knew that he was in a dangerous position, and the disciples understood that the authorities, the government, you can say, was after them. And so they were afraid because who can outrun the government, right? And who can hide from the government? And it's probably harder today to hide than it was back then. And so here they are, they're walking and they're fearful, they're afraid. And the word fearful means that they were walking with hesitation. They were holding back. They weren't walking, you know, in stride with Jesus. They weren't walking in time with Jesus, but they were lingering a little behind because of their fear. And that's what fear will do. When you don't trust God fully, when you're not really confident in the Lord and your trust is not fully in everything that's going on, or maybe your awareness is so wide and so great and you're having an understanding of the threat and the challenges and the difficulties that you are in the midst of, it will cause you to have hesitation in your progression, in your following God. Well, the disciples were no different than us. And it says, again, he took the 12 aside and he began to tell them what was going to happen to him. This is what Jesus does for his people. He reveals the way. He reveals the direction that he is taking his people in so that we can be ready, so that we can have the right mindset and the right attitude, so that we can be conditioned, so that we're not ambushed in the process and found in a place of shock and surprise and having to scurry to get ready or to try to take cover and do what we need to do, but so that we can walk with an awareness and a state of readiness. This is what Jesus was doing for the disciples. He was preparing them. And he said, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. Oh, my Lord. Could you imagine being with Jesus and hearing this? Here are guys who are thinking the Messiah is coming to liberate, to set free, to do, and they're thinking victory is coming, and they're hoping that God is going to come down and just do a miraculous thing, and they're going to be living in victory. But no, Jesus is saying, we're going to my death. We're on our way to a funeral. We're on our way to a place of surrender. And it says, they will mock him, he said. They'll spit on him. They will scourge him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again. I could just imagine what that's like. They're probably fixated on mock, spit, scourge, and kill. Wait, did he say that they were going to mock and spit and say, did he say that they were going to kill him? Well, if they're going to kill him, what are they going to do to us? What's going to happen to us? You know, that you're stuck on that whole part, you know, and Jesus was walking and he's trying to get them to understand this as he's communicating with them. And I could just see Jesus kind of saying, all right, guys, gather around here on the side of the road and let me just let you know what we're walking into. Let me let you know what is about to happen so that you can be ready. And so there he is telling them. And he probably said, yeah, 3 days later, you know, I'll rise again. But he probably was like, they're going to mock me and spit on me and they're going to scourge me and they're going to kill him. And 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. But did they hear that part? No, they didn't hear that part. And we know that from their response later on when it all happened. And their response was as if they forgot that Jesus told them that this was going to happen. And this wasn't the only time that Jesus told them. And so in verse 35, James and John, right after this, here they are walking along. And the two sons of Zebedee, they came up to Jesus and they say, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. In other words, would you do us a favor? Would you do us a favor? Notice that John and James came to Jesus. Notice they came up to him to ask him, and this is what they asked him. They said, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And they say to him, grant that we may sit one on your right and one on your left in your glory. Now, isn't that a bizarre thing to ask after Jesus just told them that he was about to die? He was about to go to the cross. And here are two guys that are thinking about themselves. These are two guys who are thinking about gaining the glory. And this is what happens so often when we're in the church, even as Christians, and we have a knowledge of Christ and understanding of God. You know, we want to do our own thing. We're looking to try to somehow get ahead for ourselves. And we're trying to make a way for ourselves. And we're not paying attention to the detail. And this is why the disciples weren't ready when Jesus was taken and when he was scourged and when he was spit on and when he was crucified. This is why they weren't prepared in their minds and in their hearts. It wasn't because they didn't have the right intel. It wasn't because they didn't have the information and that there wasn't an attempt to help them to be ready and prepared. It was that their minds were in the wrong place. And as a Christian, your mind can be in the wrong place and you can miss what God is saying and what he is doing. And what Jesus says is so critically important to us, even in today's day and age, because it is a principle in how the kingdom of God works. And it's the opposite of the way the world works. And so he goes on. He says, Jesus says to them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? Another word for baptized is drowned. Drowned. And Jesus is kind of saying, are you willing to be drowned in the same way that I'm going to be drowned, about to be drowned? I'm going to be drowned in death, in blood. I'm going to be giving up my life. I'm going to die and be submerged into the earth. And then I'm going to rise again. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? And they said, we are able. Oh, boy. Boy, that was pretty amazing, isn't it? And Jesus said to them, the cup that I drink, you shall drink. And you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. The same manner of suffering that I'm enduring, you too will suffer. And you know, whenever I read this, I always wonder if they had just kept quiet, maybe their outcome may have been a little different. But as we know from history, they all died a martyr's death. And they suffered in the same way or in similar ways that Jesus did. And so it's a very interesting thing that they spoke this and it came to pass in their lives. And this is why we have to be careful what we say and what we do and how we respond so that we are able to hear what God is saying so that we can be ready. Jesus goes on and he tells them to sit on my right or my left is not mine to give, but it's for those for whom it has been prepared. Interesting answer, isn't it? It's not even up to him. It's already been set. It's already been prepared. Who is going to do what? Who is going to go where? God already knows what the outcome is going to be. It's already in place because God knows how we think. God knows how we act and how we respond. And he knows the road of transition and transformation that we are on. And God is preparing us. That is why when he spoke of John the Baptist, he said, even the very least of you will be greater than John the Baptist. That's a powerful statement, one that we can hardly even understand. Who can figure out the mind of God? He goes on, he says, hearing this, the 10 began to feel indignant with James and John. Well, you can only imagine, isn't that right? You know, here you are, you're working together as a team, as a group, and, you know, two guys pull Jesus off to the side and say, hey, man, could you give us a seat on either side of your throne in glory? Man, that would make him say, what's wrong with these guys? Who do they think they are? And they became indignant with them. And so calling them to himself, Jesus didn't just let them think that way. He gathered everybody together to maintain unity, to make sure everybody was on one accord so that everyone could understand. And he said, you know that those who are recognized as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. In other words, the great men are the men who have come alongside the authority, the king, or whoever the highest level of authority would be among men. And he has people who work with him or who work under him and who serve in his behalf. And so those people are the people who lord or exercise the authority of the will of the ruler or the king. This is a top-down kind of authoritative mindset that the world has. It's the same way. And people have a boss, and the boss tells the workers what to do and how to do it, and it's at his discretion how what you or anyone else does is interpreted and what it means and how they want to take it. And they could literally say anything about what you're doing and how you're doing it, and it could be used against you. It can be exercised over you. In fact, it is exercised over you. And so we're careful to give the right impression. We're careful to not misrepresent who we really are or what we're really all about. And we do everything we can to put our best foot forward. But inevitably, ultimately, who we are deep down inside ultimately comes out. What's in a man must come out. It will come out, as the word of God says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of the mouth is the very thing that is what is troubling. Jesus said it's not what goes into a man that defiles the man, but that which comes forth out from him, from out of the mouth. The abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And so Jesus is laying this premise down to help them understand, and he's showing them the way of God, and he's saying it is not this way among you, because you are of the kingdom of God. You are have been born anew and afresh, and God is doing something new in the earth, and they are now a part of a divine kingdom, the kingdom of God. And he says, whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your diakonos. Your diakonos. Diakonos is the Greek word. It means to kick up dust. To kick up dust. You know why it means kicking up dust? It's the picture of running. A high-speed runner trying to get to their goal. Trying to fulfill their objective. To get things done. trying to achieve something, to do what it is that is needed to be done. That is the word we get servant. We get the word deacon from that word. It means one who is working in behalf of the Lord to get things done. The servant. And it's a very interesting word as it compares with these others. He goes on, it says, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. Some translations use the word servant again. And that is not accurate because it's a different word. It's the word doulos. It is the word slave. It means that you're owned by someone else. It means that your direction and your authority and everything about you is not rooted in yourself. It's that someone else has authority over you and you are operating in obedience. In fact, you have no will of your own that is to be carried out. Your will is irrelevant. Whether you want to or like to or feel like it, it's irrelevant because you're a slave and your job is to do what the master tells you to do. This is that word. And Jesus said, in the kingdom of God, if you wish to be first, you must become a slave. That's lower than a servant. That's lower than a servant. You must be not only the slave of God, he says the slave of who? Everyone. Everyone. You humble yourself before everyone. You must see yourself lower or lesser than everyone else. And you're there to meet people's needs, to be a help. You're a servant. You're a slave of all. And that is why we serve. That is why we do what we do. That's why the church has ministries and has all the different opportunities to serve that it does, because we're here to serve one another. The thing that makes every relationship in the world work to its fullest potential is when each person in the relationship has the desire and the focus and the purpose of being a slave of the other. And when the husband is the slave of the wife and the wife is the slave of the husband, each of their needs get met. But when the husband treats the wife like a slave and the wife treats the husband like a slave, you have a problem, because then one has risen up as master over the other. And God says that's not how it works. Relationships work. We're in servitude. We're in servitude with one another. Parents are here to serve their children. The children are here to serve the parents. It's a mystery of how all of this design works, but it is a divine design. It's a matter of mentality and perception and understanding of what God is saying. And when you see yourself as a servant, no matter where you are, you're here to do the will of the one who sent you. God has sent us. It doesn't matter what your role is in society. It doesn't matter what your occupation or the firm that you work for. It really is irrelevant. You are a slave to everyone. And your job is to do whatever is needed of you to do. Whatever it is that you're asked to do, and you follow according to the authority in which you serve. And as we yield ourselves to God, it changes everything. And when we submit ourselves, therefore, to God, oh, there is nothing that we cannot receive because we're yielded to God. In verse 45, Jesus says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served. The word serve again, the diakonos, but to serve. He came to be the diakonos, the servant. He came to do not only the will of God, what God sent him to do, but he came to do what humanity needed him to do, because only he could do it. And so there is the reason for the dual words served and serve. And he says to give his sixo, his psyche, his very breath, his very identity. It's the thing that gives us life, the breath that we have as human beings, that with every breath that we breathe, the very person that we are, the very personality that you and I have is to be subject to God. Jesus said he gave everything that he is in his humanity, in his yieldedness to God, in his authority, his person as a man, and even as the Son of God. He yielded himself, and he gave his life. And it says he gave his life a ransom. The word ransom means the liberty price. The liberty price, or whatever the cost was to set someone free. It's the picture of when someone is a slave and they're sold, there's a price on them. And you say, if you give me this, I will release them to you. And Jesus paid the price. He paid the price of the very thing that caused us to be enslaved in the first place. That is sin. Sin is what caused us to be enslaved. And so Jesus paid the sin debt. That is the liberty price, the price for liberty, the price for freedom, the price to be set free. And only Jesus has the ability to set the captive free. Only Jesus has the ability to liberate humanity and mankind. And it doesn't matter who they are, whether they're high up on the governmental chain or whether they're all the way down to the very lowest of servitude and people who have absolutely nothing in this world and in this life. But Jesus has paid the ransom for everyone. The potential is there. It says he paid the ransom for many. For many. The ransom for many. But everyone has the opportunity. Many are called, but few are chosen. God has called everyone. And it's only those who respond that the ransom is ascribed to. It's the idea that someone has enough money in the bank to pay everyone in this room's debt. Everyone who you know and who I know's debt. And it's not until they come to the altar and they say, I need my debt paid. I need liberty and to be set free. I need to have my ransom paid. Will you pay my ransom? And God responds and he says, I will. And he says, you are free. You are free. You are free. You are free. And so it's our job to deliver the ransom, to deliver that message of Christ. We bring Christ wherever we go. We bring Christ to our jobs. We bring Christ into our home. And we bring the ransom. And we bring the word of God. Christ is the ransom. Jesus is the liberator. He is the one who has set the captives free. We are the ones who must deliver the ransom. And you and I are being held accountable to bring the message of God. We must focus for accomplishment and allow God to arise in the midst of us. Allow God to show himself and to demonstrate all that he has done in the midst of us. You're a servant today. In fact, you are a slave. You've been purchased by Christ. Jesus has set you free from the liberties of the captivity of Satan. Satan was the one who had all authority over humanity. He had all authority over mankind. And God has called us for such a time as this that we would be a people who deliver the ransom. Will you deliver the ransom today? Will you take the message and bring it to the people, to far and wide, to relatives and friends, and have them come to the altar of God, have their hearts yielded and surrendered to God, Who will deliver the ransom to your family members? Who will deliver the ransom to your coworkers? Who will deliver the ransom to your neighbors and to your friends so they can partake of all that Christ has done, so that they can receive the word of God, the liberating strength of God, the word that changes and renews, the word that liberates and sets the captives free, the word that is able to renew the mind and able to you to see and hear what the Spirit of God is saying and doing. Saints of God, we must deliver the ransom. We must take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. We must hold true. God will change you from the inside out, meditating on His word day and night, meditating on His ways so that we can learn how God works, how God operates, so that the will of God can be accomplished. Well, I pray today that you will deliver the ransom. That is what we are doing here in our church today. We are showing you ways in which the ransom is being delivered so that we can be transformed, so that we can be renewed, so that we can be revived in the strength and in the power of God. I encourage you today, go into the ministry fair and look at the different ministries that are there. And I'm sure there's something there that if you're not already involved, that you can connect with so that you can be trained and groomed, and so that you can not only be blessed, but that you could be a blessing. It is our responsibility to reach out and serve one another. As I serve you and you serve one another, all of our needs are met. All of our needs are met. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Well, Lord, we are so thankful today for all that you are doing in the midst of us. And God, we ask, Heavenly Father, that you would enable us to deliver the ransom, that we would be able to be focused so that we can accomplish the very purpose for which we came into this world. Each of us has a purpose, even as Jesus had a purpose. God has called us for such a time as this, that we would go into this world and deliver the ransom message, that hearts would be changed, minds would be renewed, and that people would be set free, and that we would apply biblical principles in our lives so that we could have a divine result in how we are being lived, perceived as we live. And so, saints of God, it's not about you. It's about the deliverer. It's about Christ, our Lord. And when we submit ourselves to Him, He will sustain us. He will keep us. We serve Him, and He lifts us up. He enables us. He empowers us. He strengthens us, and He makes a way for us, so that we can be the witness that this world needs to see, so that God can be manifested in the midst of us. Amen? Amen. Others to hear and to receive of this grand world is a hurting place. The world is a place of chaos and confusion. Just watch the news. I tell you, it's getting crazier by the minute. But Christ can bring liberty. Christ is the answer. He is the one. But it's not by rising up with authority. It's by going down low in submission to God and delivering the message of God as a servant, as a slave. We serve and we are enslaved to one another, to God, so that the will of the Lord can be demonstrated. You see, the amazing thing about this is that this is a spiritual dynamic that God has established in the earth. It's like gravity. You don't have to believe in gravity. You just experience it every day. You can say it doesn't exist because I don't see it. I don't smell it. I can't taste it. There's no way to prove it other than to drop something down onto the ground. Well, when you apply biblical principles, it's the same way. Obedience is better than sacrifice. When you obey the word of God, when you do what the word of God says to do, and when you operate according to the intel or the insight that God gives us, we are able to have a divine experience, and it changes everything. It will change everything about your life. Once you come to Christ, the next step is to change your way of thinking. We must renew our minds so that we can have faith in God. We cannot have faith in God without a renewed mind. And our faith is not just believing that God can do something. It is having the ability to do and operate the way God says we are to do and operate. It's in what you do. It's the things that you do that will justify you. It's the things that you do that will condemn you. It's those actions that you apply in your life that will bring about a particular result. So as you do what you do, make sure it aligns with the word of God. As you operate in the things that you need to get done, make sure you are applying biblical premise and biblical principle and not the ways of the world, because the ways of God are the opposite of the world, and it's not the way you've been taught it ought to be. It's exactly the opposite. And so we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, or as innocent as a dove, and that we would be able to apply biblical principle, because no one is going to harass you if you're a slave, if you're a servant. But if you rise up because you feel that you have been somehow offended over something or some situation, then you are not thinking as a slave, because it's not your will or your way that has any relevance. It is the will and the way of the Lord. And when we submit ourselves to God, God will fight for us, and He will make a way for you, and He will open doors for you that no man can shut. All it requires of you is to be the slave of all. And when you see yourself as the slave of all, the servant of all, the one who's had their debt paid, it will transform your life. And so as we go today, I pray that you have a servant's mindset, the mindset even of a slave, one who is not concerned about your own will, but has placed your entire life in the hands of your master, and that He will care for you and provide for you and make a way for you. And that is Christ the Lord. May you be the servant of the Lord today. May you be one who delivers the message of your master. Deliver the ransom today and allow God to be glorified in your life. Well, Lord, we are thankful for your word, and we ask, oh God, that you would lead us and guide us in the ways of the Lord, that our heavenly strategies would be applied in our lives, that we would experience a transformed life, that heaven indeed would be on earth in our lives. and that the world would see through us that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Join us in the ministry fair.